Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, the words of our Lord, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. The scene for those words is the upper room. Jesus is with his disciples. It is evening, the very evening of his betrayal that would lead to his trial, his crucifixion, and his death. It was the upper room in which he washed their feet like a servant. It was the upper room in which he gave them his own body and his blood as bread and wine. It was the upper room where he taught them. It was the upper room where he prayed for them. It's in this context of the upper room, the context of his impending death, his laying down his life for the life of the world, that Jesus says these words, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Love. That's the big word in today's gospel and also in the epistle reading. Abide in my love. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Love one another. Love is such a slippery word, a frightening word sometimes. The Greeks had four words for love. Unfortunately, we only have one, and so it has to do multiple duty. The Greeks could speak of a love called storge, nurtured, needy kind of love, mother love, a child nestling at the breast of his mother, a mother dog with her litter, what C.S. Lewis described so well as all in a squawking, nuzzling heap together, purrings, lickings, baby talk, milk, warmth, the smell of young life. There's no need to command this kind of love. It's instinctual, motherly love. It just happens. Then there's eros, the Greek word eros. We get the word erotic from that. Erotic love, passionate love, sexual love. This is the love that we fall into when we fall into love. It's kind of out of control, isn't it? I fell in love. It's like I fell in a hole. It is sexual, it's romantic, it's moving. The Song of Solomon speaks in these terms. So does a lot of pop music. Again, it requires no commandments. There is no commandment to love one another erotically. That just happens. The only commandments are to keep it properly confined, that's all. Then there's the Greek word philos, the love of friendship. We have the word Philadelphia. That's a Greek word for the love of the brother, brotherly love. It's the love of friends, the love of the people you like and who like you. It's two people walking together side by side in trust. It's the love you have for the friend that you can trust even when you're at your worst, the person you can trust with your backside and a loaded gun. And like the others, it really requires no commandments. We like the people who like us. We have philos for the people who have philos for us. Who needs a commandment to love people who like us? That's easy. It's automatic. And then there's agape. That's the word from today's text, both the epistle and the gospel. Agape, sacrificial love, laying down one's life for another love, unconditional love, love to the loveless and to the unlovable, divine love. This is the love of God. This is the love that is God. God is agape, John says. God is love. This love goes to the very essence and the heart of God himself. This love has its source not in ourselves, but in God. The Father loves the Son. The Son is beloved by the Father. And the Father loves the world by sending his beloved Son. And the Son loves the world by laying down his life for it, offering himself, giving himself up. This love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will, an act of promise, a divine will to love that which is not inherently lovable, to love one's enemies, to do good to those who are trying to hurt you. It is the only kind of love that needs a commandment. None of the others do. Not motherly love, not erotic love, not the love of friends, but this love requires a commandment. All the other loves just happen, but agape must be created and it must be called forth, the way light is called forth out of darkness. Paul wrote a description of agape in his first letter to the Corinthians. You sometimes hear this passage from 1 Corinthians 13 read at weddings, and that's fine, although the love at a wedding is probably closer to eros and philos than it is to agape. The actual context for 1 Corinthians 13 is not a wedding, but a Christian congregation, love for the members of the body of Christ for each other. Here's the way Paul describes agape. He says agape, and I'm going to use the Greek word not to be fancy or flashy, but so we don't get distracted by love, because love to us is this warm burning in our bosom. Let's think of agape here. Agape is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Agape does not insist on having its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but it rejoices in the right. Agape bears all things, trusts all things, hopes all things, patiently endures all things. Now you say, I can't love that way. And you're absolutely right, you can't. You're not capable of it. This is God's love, his love to you, and his love through you to those around you. You cannot love this way. You have no resources to do it. Your heart is not in it. Your mind is not in it. Again, this is not a feeling. This is an act of will, and your will is naturally turned against this. But it's God who loves in this way, and you, as an object of God's love, get to be in on it. And that's why Jesus begins not with a commandment to love, but with his own love. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. That's the commandment that needs to be kept in mind. Abide in my love. The first thing to be is on the receiving end of Jesus' love, to abide in his love. Otherwise, there will be no agape coming out of you. Now, how do we do that? By keeping his commandments, he says. Don't get distracted by the word commandments. If I say mandates, will that help you a little bit? Then you won't think of 10 commandments. Think of mandates. If you keep, cling to, hold fast to my mandates, you will abide in my love. It's a simple fact as that. What does that mean? We could paraphrase it this way. If you live in your baptism, if you continue to hear my word, if you eat my body and you drink my blood, as I have mandated to you, then you will abide in my love for you. See, those are his mandates, to be baptized and to live in our baptism, to hear his word and to eat and drink his body and blood. And in so doing, we abide in his love. That's why these are so important. They are not commands to make God love us, but they are the means by which we abide in his love, which is always there. I find that to be experientially true as well in my own life. The love of God is a little bit like, let's say, a candle. The closer you put your hand to it, the warmer your hand is. The further you take it away, the cooler it is. The closer we draw to Christ in his word and in our baptism and in the sacrament, the greater we will be aware of his love, the greater we will be aware of the faith that he's working in us, the greater will be our love for one another. If we withdraw, then that love will cool, and we shouldn't be surprised. Abide in my love, he says. Hang around in my love. Remain in it. Live in it. If you don't, your love is going to cool and your faith is going to shrivel up. It goes back to the vine and the branches from last week. This follows right on the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Severed from me, you can do nothing. Same thing. Love is not an abstract verb. It's always concrete. It's always an action. In love, Jesus does something. He lays down his life to save. In love, he joins us to himself in his own death and life in baptism. In love, he gives us his very own body and blood to eat and to drink. In love, he forgives us when we sin. He feeds us, he clothes us, he blesses us. And we abide in his love as we place ourselves into that beam, into that proximity of his love. See, his love forces no one, but be forewarned, you cannot claim to love Jesus and yet hate his mandates. You can't claim to love Jesus and yet despise his baptism. You can't claim to love Jesus and yet reject his forgiveness. You can't claim to love Jesus and stay away from his supper if you know about it. I can claim to love my wife, but if I'm never at home, and we're never together, you will rightly begin to question my love for my wife, and so will she, rightly. Agape is not an option for the Christian. It sort of goes with the flow. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus' love comes first. He loves you to death in his death on the cross. He lays down his life for you, and he calls you his friend. You are a friend of Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. You didn't choose him, even if it seemed as though you did choose him at some point. You may have decided to follow him. You may have committed your life to him. You may have prayed to him. You may have decided to obey him, and you well should do all of these things, but you didn't choose him, he chose you. And he chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, lasting fruit, fruit that doesn't rot, fruit that has no expiration date on it, fruit that doesn't need to be kept in the refrigerator so it doesn't perish. That fruit, in one word, is agape, is love. Most of what we do each and every day of our lives is temporal and temporary. We build buildings that one day will crumble. We bandage wounds on bodies that will one day die. We preach sermons that will be quickly forgotten. I know, I'm a preacher. We paint, we put on paint that peels, wood rots, metal rusts, weeds take over that beautiful thing that once was a garden. Most of what we will do in our lives will be forgotten, undone, and lost completely. It will be as though we never walked on the face of this planet. But not agape, not love. Love endures forever. Love never ceases because God never ceases. Prophecies pass away, Paul says. Tongues go quiet. Knowledge evaporates. But love endures forever. Love abides. Love goes from death to life. Love survives even the grave. Love never dies. Love never goes away, for God is love. These things I command you, Jesus said, so that you love one another. Listen to that sentence very, very carefully. He does not command his disciples to love one another. That was Moses who said, love your neighbor as yourself. Instead, Jesus commands his disciples to abide in his love, to cling to his mandates in order that, with the result that, they love one another. This is the uniqueness of Jesus and of faith in him. He doesn't command us to do something. He commands us to remain in something, in somewhere, to stick to his love for us, to be on the receiving end of his self-giving love. And the result of that, the fruit of that, will be the same Jesus reflecting love for one another. Love is the fruit of faith. It's not the second part of faith, part B. First you believe, then you love. It is the fruit of faith. They are inextricably bound together, and yet they are different. Faith is the relationship with God. Love is the product that that relationship produces. Faith is trust, passively holding, clinging to what God has promised in Christ. Faith clings to Jesus' mandates in baptism and word and supper. Faith clings to Jesus' death and resurrection. It holds fast to the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation that come from Jesus. And love happens when faith happens. Fruit is a great image because fruit happens when the conditions are right. My old craggy apricot tree is full of apricots this year. Miracle of miracles. I think somehow it knows that it's about to be chopped down as soon as it's done. It's over. So it's doing one last thing. But this year the branches are sagging. They're about to break because of all the fruit. I don't do much for that tree except the occasional pruning to keep it off the phone lines and out of the power lines. Last year we had a few apricots, and some years we've had none at all. But every year, whether it produced apricots or not, it was an apricot tree, and it never ceased to be one. Sometimes it was fruitless, sometimes fruitful. When the conditions were right and there was the right combination of cold and warm and wet and dry and sunny and not so sunny and the birds stayed away, all the other things were there, it bears fruit. Now, to look at it now, if you were to stand there and look at that craggy old tree busting full of fruit, you don't have to ask what kind of tree is that. You know, it's an apricot tree. You can see its fruit. You know what it is. When the fruit is visible, you know what it is. And that's how it is with agape and the Christian. When you see it, you know it's a Christian. You are always a child of God. You are always baptized. But when the fruit of agape love appears hanging on your branches, you are seen for who you actually are in Jesus. You are a friend of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, one who abides in his love, one who is chosen by him to exhibit that love to one another. And my friends, the sight of that fruit is glorious. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.